Well, amen. What is something tonight? Maybe it's kind of a dangerous to do in a crowd, but I'm just going to ask you to yell it out. What's something, one thing for which you are thankful? Giving you practice for Thursday, by the way. You know you're going to do this around the table on Thursday, so let's give you some practice. What is one thing for which you are thankful right now?
My wife.
Your wife, good answer. Your friend being here, good. Shout it out, Serenity.
Besties.
What's that?
Besties.
Besties, okay. Yeah? All right. What's that? My daughter, yes.
Forgiveness.
Amen.
Family.
Victor?
Faster internet.
All right. My mom, good. Yep, were you going to say something, Blake? What? Brothers, all right.
Our churches,
yes. Praise God for the churches that are gathered tonight. Austin? What's that? Yeah, I thought that was coming, you Chiefs fans. Spoiled Chiefs fans. You can barely beat the worst team in the NFL, but we're still celebrating, right? All right, now let me ask this, okay? And maybe there's somebody here tonight, but what if I ask that same question to a brand new believer in Jesus Christ? What's going to be their first answer? It's going to be our salvation, right? Salvation. And I think, you know, the reality is we need to preach the gospel to one another more often. We need to talk about the gospel more often. The first thing out of our lips, and I know if you really were to just write down an order, I know for those of you who are followers of Jesus, you would have said that as well. But, you know, when we're thinking of what am I thankful for, and this fits well with what Pastor Dennis preached this morning in our church, talking about living a life of thanksgiving, the first thing out of our lips, the first thing to our minds should be the life, the death, the resurrection of Jesus Christ for our salvation, right? And there's no greater gift than that. There's no greater thing for which to be thankful than that. And yet, we take it for granted, don't we? So often we take the good news of the gospel for granted. And so let's look at 1 Peter chapter 1. We're going to look at the first three verses, or the first seven verses, actually. We're going to read verse through verse 9. But let's look at what Peter says here about our salvation. He said, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to his great mercy, he has given us a new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that is imperishable, uncorrupted, and unfading, kept in heaven for you, who are being protected by God's power through faith for a salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. You rejoice in this, though now for a short time you have had to be distressed by various trials, so that the genuineness of your faith, more valuable than gold which perishes though refined by fire, may result in praise, glory, and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. You love him, though you have not seen him. And though not seeing him now, you believe in him, and you rejoice with inexpressible and glorious joy, because you are receiving the goal of your faith, the salvation of your souls." Father, let that be our greatest thanksgiving tonight and every night, every day, will be the salvation of our souls that is secured by you, our God and Father, through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Thank you. Thank you for your Spirit that reminds us, that convicts us, that draws us to yourself, and then assures us of the salvation we have in Christ. Father, help us tonight to rejoice in that truth above all else. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So 1 Peter, and of course, we don't have time to do a series on the book of 1 Peter, but just as we dive into these verses here in the beginning of 1 Peter, 1 Peter is about our temporary residence and status here on this earth, and the rights and privileges that we have ultimately that are so much better than anything we have here, the rights and privileges we have in heaven, right? And so no one would deny that life here is up and down. Like, no one says, you know what, I haven't had a bad day in years, all right? It's just my life is like this. No, we know the reality is in this life, life is up and down. Spiritually, it's up and down. Physically, it's up and down. Culturally, it's up and down. Everything, it's up. There's good things and there's difficult things. The original audience of Peter was a group of persecuted Christians in modern-day Turkey. And so they were enduring much because of their faith in Jesus Christ. They were going through a lot of persecution. Their life was very difficult, so much more difficult than what most of us can fathom. Now, what's to come, though, for them, what was to come, and for us, what is to come, is so much better than what we have in this life. No matter how bad, no matter how good things get, what's to come is so much better. And so I want to challenge you tonight to think about the ultimate Thanksgiving. The ultimate Thanksgiving, so much better than turkey and stuffing and mashed potatoes and gravy, so much better than pie and ice cream, so much better than watching a good football game on a satisfied and full stomach. So much better than an afternoon nap, as good as that sounds. So much better than even a day off of work and a day with family. So much better than all of that. The ultimate Thanksgiving is what we have in and through Jesus Christ, our Lord. And so my challenge to you tonight, my purpose in this message is that you will continually celebrate and declare the ultimate Thanksgiving. Be thankful. Celebrate in sincerity. And if you're struggling with that, read these verses, meditate on these verses, give thanks and declare to the world why this is so, why it is that this is the ultimate Thanksgiving, what we have in Christ. Celebrate and declare that. Celebrate and declare the eternal life that is possible for all who turn from their sins and turn to Jesus. And so I want you to consider this evening, as we look at these verses briefly this evening, the two reasons for eternal life and then our necessary response. In other words, why is salvation in Jesus the ultimate Thanksgiving? Why and how can we be thankful for what we have in Christ? The same why and how we can be saved from our sins, honestly. You know, just like we talk about often, that the same Spirit who saves us, and or the same Spirit who draws us to Christ unto salvation, is the same Spirit who enables us to do the things He's called us to do, and equips us to live the life He's called us to live. And so really tonight, when I ask you the question, you know, how can we be thankful? Why should we be thankful? The same reason and the same why and how we are saved. So the first thing I want you to notice, it's because of God's lasting provision. God's lasting provision. God is He's the one who saves. There's no one else who saves from our sins. It's God alone, and His salvation is guaranteed. His provision for us is lasting. His salvation is secure. Praise God for His lasting provision. You know, our salvation, if you look back at verse 3, our salvation is according to His great mercy. Notice that it's not based on something we do, something we figure out. It's according to His great mercy in and through Jesus Christ our Lord. He has given us a new birth into a living hope. Notice that it didn't say you earned a new birth. It didn't say you figured out a new birth. No, He has given us a new birth into a living hope. Dead people, which is what we were before salvation, dead in our sins. Dead people don't make themselves alive. Right? Dead people don't give themselves life. We were spiritually dead in our trespasses, the Bible tells us, and He gave us a new birth. He regenerated us. He changed us. He made us new. This is spiritual transformation, being made new from spiritual death to spiritual life. And this new birth into a living hope, right? It's into a living hope. This is the kind of hope that doesn't die. You Chiefs fans might think that you have a living hope, but the dynasty will end eventually, I promise you. It will. It might not be for a while, I don't know. But it will eventually end. So this is a living hope, so much better than any hope that the world can give us, even the best of the world. This is a living hope that doesn't die, it doesn't end. And again, how is all of this possible? Well, we see it right here in this verse, through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. That's how it's possible. Not by our works. Not by our effort, not by anything we can do, through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. This is God's lasting provision. All of these promises, all of these assurances, all of these realities that we read about in these verses, they're not possible in and of ourselves. We can't fabricate this. We can't make this up. We can't manufacture this, no matter how hard we try. These are from the Lord, His lasting provision, not His lasting provision. And so look at verse 4 again. If you look at verse 4, we see that this new birth, that salvation, it's into an inheritance that is imperishable. It is uncorrupted. It is unfading. It is kept in heaven for you. What a promise. I mean, no one else can make such a promise as this. No one else can do such a miracle. No one else can provide such a gift. We should be rejoicing in this every day. God's lasting provision. Praise God. This is the ultimate Thanksgiving right here. I mean, shouldn't this be something we are continually celebrating, continually declaring, rejoicing in, telling the world, this is why I have joy. I recently read about how every Sunday, an 8-year-old named Micah Singerman heard his parents, these International Mission Board missionaries, his parents, Kevin and Victoria Singerman, he heard them share these chronological Bible stories in Uganda, where they serve as missionaries. And then he watched the Ugandan believers. So these Ugandan believers would hear these stories, and then they would go out into their local villages, and they would share the same story with people in their community. And one Sunday, Micah, who was a fairly new believer at the time, he told his church family that it was his turn to share some stories. He planned to tell a Bible story to the children of a family, kind of a big extended family in a rural village in these villages in Uganda. And so he practiced all week. He practiced to tell the story of David and Goliath. And he spent a lot of time working on this story of David and Goliath, and how does it get us and point us to Christ on the cross and what he did for us. And so he practiced, and he was nervous. He was overwhelmed. He was a little bit fearful, but he practiced and he was prepared, and he did. He shared the story. He proclaimed the gospel in this mud hut that was so full of people. They had more people than chairs that could fit in this mud hut. And he had some good discussions. He talked about David and Goliath. He got to the gospel and he had these good conversations. And one boy named John placed his faith in Jesus Christ as a result of Micah sharing this story. An 8-year-old going and sharing a story with a village of people. And later, John was baptized. This young boy named John was baptized after he had placed his faith in Jesus after hearing Micah's story. This was the ultimate thanksgiving when we go from death to life, from spiritual death to spiritual life, from death to eternal life. Celebrate and declare this thanksgiving with those around you. Have a desire, just like that 8-year-old boy Micah had a desire. He said, you know what? My parents are sharing these stories. These Ugandan believers are sharing these stories. Man, we should all want to share these stories of what Jesus has done for us. The ultimate thanksgiving, our salvation, is because of God's lasting provision. The second thing I want you to notice in verses 5 to 9, it's because of God's lasting protection. Continuing, if you think about God's lasting provision, what does he lastingly provide? Protection. Now, misunderstand this. Don't get this wrong. I don't mean protection from the world's troubles. I don't mean protection from difficulty and harm and bad health, and certainly not persecution, because Peter's readers understood that. No, if you put your faith in Jesus Christ, you are secure in him. Your assurance is in him. You have God's lasting protection over your heart and your eternity. And that's because of what we see in verse 5. You're being protected by God's power through faith for a salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. It's God's lasting protection. Notice that. It's not you and me becoming somehow spiritually strong enough, secure enough, smart enough, good enough. No. No, the assurance of salvation is because of God's power, right? Eternal security is here. This is not because of anything that you and I do, but it's because of him. His lasting protection. You are being protected by God's power. Notice it didn't say you protect yourself. No, you are being protected. How? By God's power. And this is seen and proven how? Through your faith. It's for a salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. In other words, when Jesus returns, that's when the salvation is fully realized, because that's when we receive resurrection bodies and everything is perfect for all of eternity for those who know Jesus. That's why you rejoice. Even though, he said, even though now in the midst of various trials, because Peter's audience understood the various trials. They were being persecuted for their faith. They lived in an area where there are literally still today, you can go and see them, underground cities that they were hiding in. And there's cave churches in these underground cities in the middle of Turkey today that you can go into and you can see where these Christians would hide so they could worship as they were running from the Roman Empire that was out to kill them, to catch them, to crucify them. That's why you rejoice, even though in the midst of various trials. And it says that your faith, what does this do? This proves your faith to be sincere and legitimate. You'll have a life of thanksgiving. The ultimate thanksgiving, even though it's difficult, even though this life is hard, these various trials, and yet this proves your faith to be real as you endure those trials. You can't see the Lord, he says. You can't see him, but you love him. Right? You can't see the Lord, but you believe in him. You can't see the Lord, but you rejoice in him. And that joy cannot be explained. It's an inexpressible joy. How could you be so happy in the midst of your suffering? I can't explain it, but the Holy Spirit has gotten a hold of my heart. I'm being changed. How can you be so joyful in the midst of that difficulty, in the midst of that persecution? I've said this so many times, and I can't get this image out of my mind. The first time I met believers in Indonesia who had been persecuted for their faith, and you couldn't wipe the smile off their face. They had so much joy, and yet they were running for their lives and continually preaching the gospel in these villages, despite the fact that people had told them, if you don't stop talking about Jesus, you're dead. And yet they kept doing it, and they had such joy in the midst of it. How? Because of what he says here. Because of the ultimate thanksgiving. Because you are receiving the goal of your faith, the salvation of your souls. What a gift. What a reason to celebrate. What a truth to proclaim. God's lasting provision, God's lasting protection. This is the ultimate thanksgiving. Salvation that is provided and salvation that is protected. I love Jesus' words in John chapter 10. When Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice, I know them and they follow me. I give them eternal life and they will never perish ever. No one will snatch them out of my hand. To be clear, as the Baptist preacher in the 19th century, Charles Spurgeon, said, if we could lose our salvation, we would. Every single one of us. We're sinners. We can't do it. If you truly put your faith in Jesus, though, he will never let you go. That's what Jesus is saying. He will not let you go because you didn't save yourself. He saved you. Imagine saving. Can I get a small child volunteer to come up here for a second? Anybody? Tab? All right. Come on up, Henry. Come here, Henry. I saw your hand first. Come here, Henry. So I just want you to imagine for a moment. So just stand right here, Henry. That's going to take a little bit of trust by your parents. So give me your hand, Henry. So let's just imagine that down there is certain death. And so let's see if we can get you up here. You put your feet up there. There we go. Look at that. So imagine, now let me just imagine for a moment, if this was certain death, and I rescue this child from certain death, falling off a cliff or something, do you think I'm going to let him go? No, I mean, I'm going to do whatever I can. I'm going to pull him back. I'm going to do whatever I can to protect him, right? I'm not going to let him go. So if he's on the edge, I'm going to pull him back. So Henry, you can go back. No, walk down the steps now. Don't jump off the cliff. All right. But I'm going to do whatever I can, right? I saved him from that certain death, and I want to do whatever I can to keep him from falling. But I'm not perfect. I'm far from perfect, right? And so I can make mistakes. I don't hold anyone's life in my hands. Certainly not their eternal life. And so if it's up to me, I can fail. I can fall short. But Jesus is perfect. And the analogy that Jesus is giving us here in John chapter 10 is he pulls us out of the pit of despair. He pulls us out of certain death, eternal death and damnation. He pulls us out of that. And if he pulls us out, he's not letting go. And so when we put our faith in Jesus, he does not disappoint us. He will not let us go. God's lasting provision, God's lasting protection, turn to him. Know him, follow him, trust him. And so I want to challenge you this morning, the way that we respond to these words from 1 Peter chapter 1, the way we respond to this protection and this provision that God alone can give us, we respond by rejoicing and by enduring. This is what Peter was getting at in the second half of the passage that we read. Your rejoicing in Christ will show your faith to be real. Right? Do you hear that? Your rejoicing in Christ will show your faith to be real. And your enduring in Christ, despite all the difficulty, your endurance will prove your faith to be sincere, to be genuine, to be real. Your endurance will prove it. Rejoice and endure. This is what followers of Jesus do, by the way. Followers of Jesus rejoice in the ultimate thanksgiving. Followers of Jesus endure because of the ultimate thanksgiving. Those who profess faith in Jesus but do not rejoice and do not endure, they prove their faith to be illegitimate. The Bible is clear on that. The ones who endure to the end, Jesus said, will be saved. And he's getting at that endurance proves your faith to be real. It proves sincerity. So those who don't have joy and those who don't endure, they prove their faith to be not real, to not be sincere, to not be legitimate, to not be lasting. Suffering is the reality now in this life. Suffering is the reality. But salvation is to come. Salvation is the promise. Endurance of the suffering in this life proves the genuineness of our faith, which is what assures us of our salvation. And so you look again at those verses 6 and 7. He said, you rejoice in this, though now for a short time you have had to struggle in various trials, so that the genuineness of your faith, more valuable than gold, which perishes though refined by fire, may result in praise, glory, and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Rejoice and endure. Peter used this powerful illustration because the most valuable thing for them, the most valuable material, was gold. So everybody understood this. When Peter said this, everybody, oh yeah, it's not like somebody's like, well, gold, what's that about? No, everybody knew how gold was refined by fire and how it was the most valuable thing they could have. But faith in Jesus is even more valuable. He said gold, even though it's refined by fire, it perishes. It will not last. But your faith, when it's sincere, it does. Jesus is coming again, and we can and will be ready for him if we know and follow him now. The way that you're ready for what's to come is right now to follow Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord. Remember, I said my purpose tonight in this message is that you would continually celebrate and declare the ultimate thanksgiving. This is a daily conviction. It should be for us as followers of Jesus. A daily conviction, a daily decision to say, you know what? I've got some tough things going on today, but by God's grace, I'm going to rejoice. I'm going to celebrate the ultimate thanksgiving, the salvation that I have in Jesus Christ. This is a daily surrender that we have to do. Have you experienced the ultimate thanksgiving, surrendering your all to Jesus Christ? Because if you haven't, please don't leave here today without doing that, because God alone is perfect. His creation was perfect. He is not the one who ever messed up, but we all sin. We know the reality is that we all sin. We all fall short of God's perfect standard, God's perfect glory. Hell is what we deserve because of our sin. God loves us so much, though, that he sent Jesus to rescue us from our sins, to rescue us from death, to rescue us from the eternal damnation in hell that we all deserve. Jesus lived a perfect life, and then he took the deserved punishment that you and I have, he took that on himself when he died on the cross for our sins, and he rose from the dead to defeat sin and death forever. And so now, if you turn from your sin, if you do a 180 in your mind and your heart, you turn from your sin to Jesus, and you rest fully in him, you rest in him, not trusting yourself, just like I'm trusting this stool to hold me up, you rest in him to save you, then he will. That's a promise that only he can make. You will experience the ultimate thanksgiving when you put your faith in Jesus. One day Jesus is going to come again, and he's going to restore all things perfectly for all of eternity. And all those who have a relationship with him, who have turned from sin and trusted in him, are restored in a perfect relationship with God and with all who know him. There will be a new heaven. There will be a new earth. There will be that eternal perfect restoration. You must surrender your all to Jesus, though, in order to know and experience this promise. So let's celebrate the ultimate thanksgiving. Let's do that by following Jesus and helping others to follow Jesus. That's how we celebrate the ultimate thanksgiving. Father, that's our prayer this evening, that you would help us to truly celebrate the life, death, and resurrection of your Son, Jesus, for our salvation. Knowing that there's nothing we can do to earn that, there's nothing we can do to work our way to you, you sent your Son Jesus to make a way, to rescue us from our sins. Father, thank you for your Spirit that convicts us of sin and leads us to you. We pray, Father, that you would help us tonight to be disciples who are making disciples, to follow you and help others to follow you. We pray for those who are here this evening who haven't yet trusted in you. Maybe it's a young child or teenager that hasn't yet made that decision to give their hearts to Jesus. Maybe it's an adult. Maybe it's somebody who's been in church all their life and they just haven't yet said, yes, I'm going to surrender my all. I'm going to trust Jesus alone to save me rather than trusting my own good works. Whether it's the child, the teenager, the adult, whoever it is this evening that needs to make that decision, please, Father, open their minds, open their hearts, give them a desire right now to cry out to you so that they can know and experience the ultimate thanksgiving. We pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen.